Seeing none, I will open House Bill 1176, which repeals the prohibition of certain disclosures by a state agency of information concerning a private entity for public testimony. If Representative Olson, if you'll bear with me for just a minute, I didn't announce the bills that I was going to defer, so let me do that. House Bill 1180, which allows the transfer of surplus property to tribal subdivisions, has been deferred to next Wednesday, the 7th. House Bill 1182, which limits inmate telephone charges, has been deferred to Monday, the 5th. House Bill 1190, which provides that the free exercise of religion is protected, has been deferred to Monday, the 5th. House Bill 1208, which extends the date for filing claims with the subsequent injury fund, has been deferred to Wednesday, the 7th. With that, House Bill 1176 is open for testimony. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mel Olson, State Representative from District 20. And I'm happy to hear we're not deferring bills, so there'll be no motions to the 41st day to defer on this bill. That's very
The 42nd through the 365th day are still available, Representative Olson.
Well, that's grim and depressing news, Mr. Chairman, but I'll move forward anyway. You know, for about 108 years or so, our state got along without what has become known as the gag law. And with all due respect to the people who brought the bill, I think it's an affront to open government. One of the things that's concerned me over the years, and I have tried either as the prime sponsor or as a co-sponsor every year that the bill, that the law was originally passed to repeal it, is we make changes, it seems like, every year to accommodate a new circumstance. For example, in 1997, the law had to be amended to exclude investigations to protect the natural resources of the state because federal law and regulations required disclosures. And if the state made those disclosures to the EPA, for example, people would go to prison for carrying out a federal mandate. So we had to change that. And in fact, we put in subsection 10 of the original code site 12731 that says to comply with federal law rules or program delegation requirements. And so every year we've put in more and more loopholes. We've got loopholes now that deal with criminal investigations, as there should be. We've got loopholes dealing with federal agencies. We've got loopholes dealing with filing reports relating to that and natural resources and all the rest. So it seems to me that there aren't many circumstances that exist anymore where the law would even apply, and I would argue that the law should not apply. Just in the editorial page of the Argus Leader, and I'm very happy to hear that Mr. Wilbur the other day thought that the Argus Leader was a source that he could rely on. They talk about last year the Family Farms Committee of the Dakota Rural Action formally asked the Attorney General to review the purchase of Murphy Farms by Smithfield Foods to determine if the takeover was a violation of Amendment E. And the Attorney General responded that the state gag law prevented his office from disclosing whether or not there was any investigation going on. I would argue that if South Dakotans had complaints about Bridgestone Firestone and went to the Attorney General with those complaints, and the Attorney General found that in fact there was a defect, he would be prohibited and in fact would be sent to the penitentiary for telling the people of South Dakota, unless he launched a criminal action, that there was something wrong with Bridgestone Firestone. That seems crazy to me. I can see other circumstances as well. For example, if the Department of Revenue engages in an audit and finds that an individual or a business has not paid their sales tax and proceeds to jerk the sales tax license and puts the little notice on the business, that they are revealing the results of a private investigation because obviously the individual has not paid the sales tax, and I would argue that the revenue agents who post that notice under the gag law should be going to prison. I think that's crazy. And I have some idea where this bill is going to go, but I do think it is an affront to open government. I do think we got along for 108 years without it. I think that people are prudent. when they're engaging in these kinds of things, and I think, frankly, that an investigation done by the state is public business, and the public has a right to know that. I'd make one last comment, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes, you may, Representative.
In the first couple of sections of 12731, subsections, it says who you can release information to. And you can release the information to the private entity being investigated, of course. And persons that the private entity has authorized in writing to receive the information. It seems to me that if the state treasurer, in the course of his duties of investigating unclaimed property claims, found that an individual, in fact, had unclaimed property, that unless that private entity agreed, state treasurer could not tell that person they were entitled to unclaimed property and carry out their function. That doesn't seem proper either. And so, Mr. Chairman, I offer House Bill 1176 for the serious consideration of this committee. Thank you,
Representative, and we will hold questions until all testimony has been completed. Further proponents of House Bill 1176. Welcome.
Chairman, I certainly count this a privilege to testify before this committee here, and that I have this privilege to put forth my my ideas. I am Donald Hoogestraat. I am a retired farmer from Lenox, South Dakota. I'm a member of Dakota Rural Action Group. I was born and raised in South Dakota, and I farmed for 41 years, and I was also a hog producer. The first point I would like to make, and that's probably a dead ringer to what Olson was talking about, is to repeal the gag law and open up the government. This was an editorial in the Argus Leader. I don't want to be repetitious or anything, but it was, I felt, a very good editorial. It got to the point. And in that editorial, I believe it mentioned DRA, who I am a member of, and that also he asked the Attorney General for a ruling on whether Murphy Farms and Smithfield, when they took over Murphy Farms, were in compliance with Amendment E, 1998 Amendment E. And the Attorney General returned his reply and said as much as he would like to help and answer his questions, he was not allowed to by law. Now, I think this puts an unfair restriction upon the officers of the state government of South Dakota. And I think as citizens that were born and raised here, or all citizens, I think we should be entitled to know what's going on and what is happening. And at this point in time, we are deprived of that information. Any questions?
We'll hold questions, but I do have one question for you, sir, just as a point of clarification. Are you here representing Dakota Rural Action, or are you representing only yourself? And the reason I ask that, sir, is under our rules, if you're representing another organization, you'll be required to register as a lobbyist for them.
Well, I'm here for Dakota Rural Action.
Then have you registered as a lobbyist for them?
No, I have not.
Then I would ask that you go down to the Secretary of State's office and do so.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We will hold our questions, further questions for you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want me to do that immediately?
Well, I'll give you some latitude for the hearing, but then afterwards, if you would go down.
I would like to inform you that I also have a son that's in the hog operation, and I'm a part of that operation. Does that change any of those specs?
No, if you're speaking on behalf of Dakota Rural Action, then you must register as a lobbyist.
Okay.
If you're speaking only for yourself, even if you're a member, then you don't have to register.
Okay.
That will be my ruling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Let us know what you decide.
Yeah.
Further proponents of House Bill 1176.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Bordewijk. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association, representing the daily and weekly newspapers in the state. And obviously, our member newspapers do believe for and stand for openness and democracy and in our government process. And we support House Bill 1176. We would argue that this law, broad law, should be repealed in South Dakota today. I know of no other state in the United States that has such a broad confidentiality law as we have before us in South Dakota today. It's in effect a blanket over all of state government. It goes beyond what I would consider the bounds of reasonable confidentiality. We do have laws in our state today, specific laws regarding confidential information, information that state government holds or collects, and when that information may be kept confidential. And it goes into sales tax audits, it goes into banking information, insurance, commercial information, health insurance, juvenile courts, very specific laws regarding specific collections of, and data of information. There was a summer study committee focusing on privacy this past year, and they looked at a broad range of privacy issues in our state. And I think one of the key things that came out of that summer study was that if they were to write any laws, and they did propose a few bills that are making their way through this legislature, but if they were to write any laws regarding confidentiality and privacy, they had to be very specific. Broad strokes of legislation regarding confidentiality don't work very well, and I would argue that the law we have today does not work very well and does not serve our state government very well. I think, as Representative Olson pointed out, looking at the Bridgestone-Firestone scenario, the hog farm issue, I think you're going to find scenarios someday in South Dakota where this law will backfire on us. And I can't give you those scenarios other than what Representative Olson talked about. But I think state government will find itself in a position down the road time and again where this puts us in our government in a bad position. And I think there are times when the public's right to know outweighs the need for confidentiality. And I think we need to permit state government officials some leeway and ability to make those judgments. So with that, I urge you to support House Bill 1176.
Thank you, sir. And again, we will hold questions. Further proponents of House Bill 1176. Further proponents of House Bill 1176. One last time, any further proponents? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to testimony from proponents and open the committee hearing to testimony from opponents of House Bill 1176. Any opponents from House Bill, for House Bill 1176? Do we have anybody registered? Was Amanda Patton, would you please go out and ask the tall, silver-haired gentleman out there if he wishes to testify in 1176? He's registered, but not Ron Schmidt. Apparently not. I'm going to ask one last time, any opponents to House Bill 1176? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to opponent testimony and open it to questions and answers for the sponsor or any of the testifiers. Questions? One more time, any questions? Seeing none, I will close the committee to test or questions and answers, and again allow Representative Olson 2 minutes for any additional comments you might have.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm stunned by the lack of opposition. Yeah. Okay. All right, that must be it. Well,
Floor of the week.
I can't believe my run of good luck so far, so I'm going to push it a little farther if you're ready for a motion.
No, if you're done with your discussions, I'm going to follow my own rules and close the committee hearing to the rebuttal or further comments from Representative Olson. Now I will open the committee hearing to discussion and or action, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to get a due pass motion on the record anyway.
Thank you. We have a due pass motion on House Bill 1176. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Hansen seconds the due pass motion. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Napoli.
Mr. Chairman, I would move a substitute motion to defer to the 41st day.
We have a substitute motion by Representative Napoli to defer House Bill 1176 to the 41st legislative day. Is there a second? Representative Dunwald seconds. Is there discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Napoli.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I was here when that gag order was put into law, and I think it's the responsibility of every legislator, no matter which side of the aisle they're from, to recognize an abusive situation that's happening, whether it's in the public or whether it's in private or whether it's in government. And that was the result of this bill. That's what the bill came from, was an abusive situation, I feel, that was taking place in the newspapers, in the media, wherever, that was causing a lot of headaches for private business and private people, because there was some people that felt that the best way to solve their problems was to do it through the media. And I'm not trying to be critical. That was just as I perceived the situation, and many other people did too. And that's why this bill was introduced in the first place, and that's why it was enacted into law. What this was a response. The bill that was originally passed back in 1995 was a response by the legislature to a situation that was happening to decent, honest people that were being attacked and pretty well abused in the media. And that's why that erupted in the first place, and that's why we are where we are today. I, for one, do not want to see that happen again. I do not want to see. Matter of fact, I asked Secretary Butler about this 2 years ago when this bill was before our committee in taxation. I said, why would you want to try someone in the media? And his answer was, I will use whatever means is available to me to prosecute these people. And it was my feeling was that at that time that no one, whether they're guilty or innocent, has any reason to be tried by the media in the media's arena. And so that this bill was defeated 2 years ago. And so with the history of this situation the way it is and what's happened, until someone's ready to clean up their act, I believe this bill should be deferred to the 41st day.
Further discussion. Representative Brown.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up on Representative Napoli's comments, because I know we haven't had a lot of discussion of this, because it does come back up every year, and in fact we did have a situation in which you needed to have some reasonable constraints on public agencies, what they do when they're dealing with individuals in the private sector. And that's why I think on section 4 lines on page 2 lines 8, 9, and 10 are the fundamental rationale of why we need to have some reasonable constraints, and particularly to protect the public and the private sector from public abuse of an ability to investigate and have without the private individual having an opportunity to defend himself in a private fashion rather than having to do it in public. So, well, I recognize there's some sense that we are abridging some potential freedoms of people. It really is protecting those freedoms that this bill is here, and the subsequent 10 sub-items of Section 4 really provide that in a legitimate way prior to the investigation being completed. Once an investigation is completed and there's follow-up to it, then we have a rationale to make some of those things public rather than try and advance. And Representative Napoli is absolutely right. I would urge you to support the 41st day.
Representative Glensky.
Mr. Chairman, I would rise in opposition to the effort to defer to the 41st day. In the actual hearing here in front of the committee, we had nobody that testified in opposition to the bill. We had several instances that indicated it has been a problem that perhaps were not foreseen at the time the original bill was passed. And I feel that the only fair way would be to send it to the floor so that public discussion could be made.
Further discussion on the substitute motion to send House Bill 1176 to the 41st Legislative Day. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, just briefly to respond to what Representative Brown said, if you look at what the law says, you can't even report when the investigation is over. That is not allowed unless you're going to bring a criminal action or a civil action. And the Attorney General, if he gets complaints from consumers about a particular entity, and he investigates that entity, unless he's going to bring a criminal action, he's not allowed to say. I would argue that when the Attorney General receives complaints about a phone scam, for example, from a private entity, that unless there's a criminal charge attached to that, when he issues a consumer alert, he is in violation of this statute. And that's just not right. If the government is investigating something, the Murphy Farms issue, for example, was that a violation of Amendment E? I don't know if it was or not. But individuals are concerned, and they turn to their government and say, are you investigating this? And the government can't even tell them one way or the other if they're doing that. How do you know if your government's being responsive to your issue? You don't. Seems like every year we come back and we put another hole in this deal. It's time for this to go away. I don't disagree that there were problems in the past. I do take issue somewhat with the comment that Representative Napoli made about people cleaning up their act. I guess I don't believe that public officials in the vigorous pursuit of their office are people who need to clean up their act. I think they're people who are pursuing what they view as being in the best interests of South Dakota. And all of us have our pet causes. All of us have our pet issues that we pursue with passion. And I don't think anyone would suggest that we need to clean up our act on that. And so I did take some umbrage with that comment. But the idea that once you complete an investigation, it can be made public, this law does not allow for that at all, unless you're bringing a civil or criminal charge. The other thing is, to carry out your functions, you've got to get the organization to agree to allow that information to be released. And so, since we're talking about the treasurer's office, if the treasurer finds unclaimed property, if that entity says, you know, you can't tell those people, he can't tell those people, and that property remains unclaimed forever, that's not right either.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Further discussion on the motion to send to the 41st Legislative Day. I would just make a couple of comments in response. I think Representative Olson, I know he has brought this legislation before us in good faith. I think he expresses, as other witnesses have expressed, some legitimate concerns. One of the difficulties that we have in society today, and particularly in our deliberations of legislation, is trying to find where that fine line is between a person's right to privacy and the public's right to know. We have dealt with this bill, I think, every year that I've been in the legislature, or at least for the last 4 years. And I think we're all aware of examples where the government, in what it felt was the exercise of its duties, have released information or have investigated people in a very public way that has caused them severe damage, and after which we found that their investigations were really for naught, because while there may have been a little smoke there, there certainly was no fire. We may disagree, and we do disagree, on the actions of the current state treasurer, but I do think that our responsibility is here is to assure that there is a line drawn, that the line is clear between the public's right to know when somebody has done wrong and a person's right to privacy when they may have been investigated for something that they didn't do, and that their right to privacy is not violated and they are done harm by an action of a governmental official. It's a challenging issue, and I don't disagree with that, but I'm not aware that since this law has been put in place that it has posed a serious burden on the public's right to know what its government is doing in the proper in its proper activities and its in its proper role. So I would support Representative Napoli's motion to send this to the 41st legislative day. Further discussion? Seeing none, the motion before the committee is the Napoli motion to refer House Bill 1176 to the 41st legislative day. Those in favor of the motion shall signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Dunwald?
Aye.
Donovan?
Aye.
Ekarius?
Aye.
Lansky?
Nay.
Hanson?
No.
Jaspers?
Aye.
Jelke?
Aye.
Michaels?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Napoli?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries by a 10-3 vote. House Bill 1176 is sent to the 41st legislative day.